The party was allowed the freedom of the strange underwater colony known as Euclidea. Their first view was of an immense cave or cavern, a mile in width and half a mile high. The most surprising thing about this cavern is the naturalness of everything. Tall trees and green grass, growing just as they do in the everyday world, while cows, pigs, and chickens make the weird surroundings almost natural. This can't go on forever on Euclidea, and our friends soon feel more as they did on their first visit to the island. Jerry is taken away for a conference with G-47, and Mrs. Gregory, her daughter Joan, and Captain Bradford are taken to witness an experiment in the laboratory of Cheops, the builder. The captain is speaking as they stand outside this room.
It doesn't matter what we've seen on this place before. There's always something more surprising waiting for us.
You were impressed, were you not, Captain, with Cheops' demonstration of the tempered copper?
I should think that anyone would be impressed, my dear.
Yes, Joan, the art of tempering copper was lost somewhere, along with a lot of other wonderful things those old Egyptians had done. And ever since that time, men have been trying to find the secret.
Even his name seems unnatural. Cheops, whom the Egyptians called Khufu. I can almost imagine this man standing by the newly completed Great Pyramid, proudly looking at his handiwork.
You allow your imagination too much scope, Mother. This man has merely taken the name of Cheops, as he is the master builder of Euclidea.
We know that, Joan, but at the same time, it's more than a coincidence. This man should have taken the secrets of the ancient builder along with his name.
I've seen enough of this for a while. Let's walk around this passageway and try to find some more natural things to look at. The sight of you standing on that thin sheet of copper as solidly as you might have stood on a concrete foundation was a little too much for me.
It was indeed remarkable. That copper was so thin that it seemed almost to float in the air. Yet when the edges of it were firmly held, it supported your weight.
I wish Jerry could have seen that.
He's probably seeing plenty where he is now.
I wonder what G-47 will do to him.
He will not harm Jerry, I think.
Possibly not, but I wish he were here with us.
Okay, here I am.
Oh, Jerry.
Jerry, you startled me.
Well, you're getting to be a regular Euclidean, son. Where did you come from?
All through one of those noiseless steel panels, just like the rest of the Euclideans do it.
The rest of the Euclideans?
Oh, sure. My dad always said, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So I'm going to try it on Euclidea.
Well, it works all right, but we haven't quite accustomed ourselves to these poppings in and out of doors.
I do not like the thought of you being a Euclidean, Jerry.
Well, what's wrong with that? You were one for a long time, and you thought it was all right.
This is different. You are so much a part of your world, you would not be convincing as a member of this colony.
Nevertheless, Joan, it looks as if we're all going to be members, whether we want to or not.
It sure does. It looks like it more than ever now.
What's happened now, Jerry?
Well, nothing much has happened that we didn't figure was going to happen. But old G-47 made it mighty plain to me that from now on, we're going to do just exactly what these Euclideans tell us to do.
Did he threaten you?
No, he just talked to me. You know him. The old guy's a pretty interesting talker when he isn't trying to scare you.
What did you learn?
Well, we're all got to go to work.
Work?
Yeah.
What sort of work?
Well, we can take our choice about that. But we've all got to do something around this underwater city. G-47 said that everybody works here, and we'd have to do the same thing.
Did he not indicate the type of employment which was to be delegated to each of us?
No, he didn't tell me what our jobs would be either.
Jerry, you understood me perfectly.
Now, hold it, you two. Let's don't fight yet.
No, please. We must keep our minds on the possible meaning of Jerry's news until we decide what steps to take.
Was any particular qualification given you, Jerry? I mean, did G-47 mention what services we might be required to give?
No, not much. I try to get a job with the cows. Well, I know how to milk a cow, and I'd like to stay in this room where all the green grass and the trees are. But nothing doing.
I imagine that job is filled long ago. They've been using milk from these cows for a long time.
Yeah, and they've got automatic milkers, too. But it needs somebody to watch them all the time. And guess who's got that swell job?
Well, it couldn't be McCloud. He's waiting on the pigs.
And the old skipper's gathering the eggs from the chickens.
That exhausts the personnel of our party, Jerry. It could not be anyone you would know.
Oh, is that so? Well, it is. The new milkman who watches the machines milk the cows is Jim Lowe.
Jim Lowe?
Jerry, not the Chinese cook from our own boat.
Yep, the Chinese cook's got the job.
Does he understand his duties?
The nearest that Chinese ever got to a cow was opening a can of condensed milk.
Yet he has the job. What a place this is. Are we to choose our occupations and report, or what is our procedure, Jerry?
Well, we can go around and pick out our own jobs after we watch the eruption.
Eruption? Of what?
Well, the volcano.
Jerry, you mean the crater where the island of Euclidea is located?
Yeah, well, I guess it must be there.
There's going to be an eruption of that old volcano.
That's what G-47's getting ready for. He said we could go up to the top of this room and watch it through the transparent seawall.
How far are we from the base of that crater?
I think not more than 200 feet, Captain.
Well, we're not going to watch any eruptions if we can help it.
There's more to this, isn't there, Jerry?
Well, sure there is, if you'll all give me a chance to tell it.
You wasted time discussing our future occupation.
Yes, and if that volcano thing is on the level, we may not need any future occupation.
Well, that eruption is going to be artificial, and G-47 is going to pull a switch that sets it off.
An artificial eruption that will create a disturbance on the surface. There must be a good reason for that.
There is.
I should think so. That'll destroy the island.
Oh, no, it won't. You see, they pulled the island way down into the bottom of the crater. It won't get hurt a bit.
Did G-47 tell you all of this, Jerry?
Yeah, and he told me a whole lot more. But we'd better be getting up there if we want to see this.
All right, son. You can discuss as we go along. Come on, Pat and Joan. Do we go up this way, Jerry?
Yeah, right up this twisting runway. I guess it comes out in some sort of a transparent walled room from what old G-47 said.
Well, what's it all about?
Well, they're going to set off a lot of inflammable bombs. There's a lot of ships cruising around over here, taking soundings and trying to locate the island.
What ships, Jerry?
Well, they wouldn't tell me that. But I got an idea. There are boats from more than one country that's rushed down here to try to save us.
And now they'll never know we're here underwater.
I guess that's about the size of it, Pat. When they take all the soundings they want, they'll find nothing but the crater of an extinct volcano in a submerged mountain.
And those bombs exploding will create the impression the volcano is active again.
Then all those ships will be driven away, thinking we have all been lost at sea.
Well, what's worse than that? Everybody will think we didn't know what we were talking about.
Yes, Jerry, I understand. There isn't any island at the position we gave.
There sure isn't. At least not where they'll be looking for it. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if those ships up there represent our last chance to communicate with the outside world.
If there were only some way to warn them, to let them know that we are down here, 400 feet below the water level, and that the island is submerged beneath the base of the crater over 200 feet below the surface.
Well, if we could get our hands on a radio set out of some kind, I'd take a chance and send a message out.
And you know perfectly well that you'll never be allowed to approach anything that resembles a method of communication.
It would not be natural to allow us to send messages which would expose the secrets of the Euclideans.
You're right enough about that, Joan. The thing I feel the worst about is that the news will be flashed all over the world that we were all wrong, that the Magic Island never existed, that the position we gave is really an active submarine volcano.
Well, there's plenty of people who have sailed over here before. Well, they know there wasn't any volcano here then.
That makes it worse, Jerry. It will bring them to the conclusion that an island possibly existed, but that the volcanic eruption has destroyed the island and probably taken us with it.
That is logical, Mother. Though surely some of the charts of this locality must show the existence of the submerged mountain we are now inside of.
Afraid not, Joan. Euclidean its magnetism have been around here too long. All the charts of this position are wrong. The mountain isn't shown on any of them.
Well, we can't help it now, so we might as well watch what goes on. I guess this is the door we go through.
It is at least the end of the passageway.
Careful, Jerry. That may be the wrong door.
No, G-47 said to come up to the top of this runway and to open the door. This is the only thing I can see that looks like a door.
Do you think this must be the one he meant? Well, go ahead, Jerry.
No, I'm trying to, but it doesn't want to open. No, nothing doing.
You should not have to pound on the door, Jerry. If we were supposed to enter here, the door would open easily.
Joan's right. There's a mistake someplace.
Well, let's forget about it. I'd feel safer if we weren't any too close to this wall when those explosions take place.
Well, looks like we can't get in here, so we might as well go back down. Those Euclideans are going to watch this thing from somewhere. And if we can find that place, we can watch it too.
We have not much time, have we?
Well, G-47 didn't say how soon they were going to start manufacturing this eruption. But the way he hurried me out of his room gave me the idea it would be pretty soon.
Well, then let's go back down. We passed several panels that looked like doors on our way up here. Maybe some of them can be opened.
I'd just as soon not open any doors. After all, the ocean is on the other side of this wall.
Quiet! What was that sound?
It sounded like an earthquake to me.
The bombs. I'll bet they've started them.
Yes, there's another one. Tex, I felt this steel wall quiver.
Now, Pat.
Well, I did. Can't you feel the floor trembling?
Yeah, I can. This isn't so good. Come on.
I believe it is time to leave this place.
Maybe so, but there must be someone around here watching this eruption. I'd like to see how they do it.
Oh, Tex, please, come along.
Oh, very well, Pat, but there isn't any danger. These Euclideans built things too well for that.
It is possible, however, that they have not anticipated the stress and strain accompanying these explosions.
Oh, sure they have. G-47 G-47 told me he had the idea of using fake explosions in that old volcano for protection long before these walls were built.
Whatever it is, we're in danger. That noise is steadily increasing.
Hurry, you fool.
G-47, what's happening?
These chambers are to be flooded.
Flooded?
Oh, I felt something was wrong.
But G-47, did you not tell Jerry to bring us up here?
Will you hurry out of here? No. I told Hall to take you to the top of the other passageway. This is a pressure channel. We must fill it with water to withstand the pressure of these explosions. Otherwise, Euclidia will be flooded, and you stupid fools will have the lives of everyone here in danger.
Gee, I'm sorry I made a mistake.
You certainly made a big one.
Do not blame Jerry. This would confuse anyone.
I certainly couldn't tell one passageway from another.
Silence, you stupid fools. Go, hurry. Take yourselves down this incline as rapidly as possible. Go.
But what about you, G-47?
Go.
Everybody, we'd better move faster than this.
G-47 has gone back into that upper chamber.
What if he's caught in there and can't get out?
I guess he's too smart for that.
G-47 would think only of saving the colony. He would make no effort to save his own life.
Just like that, all right.
You three going down this ramp. I'll go back and see if I can help him.
No, Tex, don't be foolish. Why should you try to save that man's life?
Our lives wouldn't be worth much without him.
You are right, Captain. All of our lives depend on G-47.
You're too late now. Run, everybody. That wall is going to kick.